All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back at it again. I am... Oh, let's fuck this up.
That's a weird name.
All right, we're just going to continue. Fuck this. Okay. I'm Joe I am your favorite DJ, Joe Delicious, a.k.a. Banana, a.k.a.
Hot Dog.
Oh, yes, a.k.a. Hot Dog,
Joe,
a.k.a.
Hang
Gun,
something.
A.k.a. Bank. This is the longest...
It's just gonna get longer.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's start this again. We're back at it again. Welcome to...
This stuff's staying in.
A Game at a Time with Joe Delicious.
Ben. Welcome, everybody. This is your favorite DJ, Joe Delicious. We have one game at a time. This is one game at a time. And we have Byron.
Yep.
And we have Ray.
What up?
And I, every time I start this, I find it very, very difficult to start. And then about halfway or an hour into the conversation, then my mind starts to like heat up. So it's a very, very strange.
Yeah, that's usually when I like to try and shut it down.
Yes, yes, yes. I gotta figure this out, like, how do I start this? Anyways, so I had a conversation with Ray yesterday, and he told me that you prepared a bunch of stuff to talk about today. Is that right?
No.
Byron? Oh, shit.
That's... I mean,
absolutely not true.
I said we have a topic that we had agreed upon that we would talk about.
Oh, that's true. On Wednesday, I had an agreed upon topic.
Yes.
And then earlier today, I said that topic's bad. We shouldn't do it.
All right.
I explained that. So there was a game we were talking about on Wednesday, yes, which was Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. And we were talking about that because it has a good story.
Right.
It's an interesting story, and it's interesting because I think the community responded to what the developers wanted differently.
Right. Yeah.
As in, it had a direction they thought it would go, and the community disagreed with it, effectively thinking that a lot of the consensus on the game is that the game has a...
Was this the maybe, one where there's an old guy and they wanted to turn it into a young guy?
No, I'll explain the... I mean, we may as well get a bit into the game and the story anyway.
Yeah.
Then I'll discuss why I think it's not the best thing to talk about. But we'll talk about it anyway, I guess. The premise is you start in like a... It's a small town,
yes,
and you're... There's a couple of kids. There's three, four kids? Four kids, I think, right?
It's a bunch of kids.
Yeah, there's like some bullies. There's like... You're having like a snowball fight at the start of it.
Which acts as the tutorial for the gameplay.
Yeah, but gameplay is irrelevant. We're just talking about story here.
Fine.
But the premise is like you kind of get a feel for like the general personas. There's a kid that... you're friends with that's like in a wheelchair and being bullied. There's another kid that gets a girl that gets bullied because she has like odd colored hair, and I think you're like the new guy.
You're the new kid.
Yeah. And so then basically you have this little event, and you realize that these people have these problems. Like the disabled kid has like his mother died, and he's still kind of grief stricken from that. So you go into like an attic or your room or something like that, and you start reading a book, and the premise of the game is basically you get sucked into the world of the book,
right?
Which
right,
is
right.
It's Final Fantasy,
right?
And
right.
And all the kids get transported into the book,
right?
And
are all the Final Fantasy, so each Final Fantasy,
they're all completely different,
right?
Okay, each one is a completely different world,
right.
Different lore.
I did not know that.
There's a couple sequels, but
okay,
that is like Final Fantasy X-2,
right,
because
right,
they made a direct sequel to that one.
Right.
But they're generally almost always completely different, which is a lot of work to set up, I think.
Okay, so this one is about a boy, and he reads a book, and then that the world that is written in the book, is that his world?
Yeah, they go to sleep, and
yes,
then you wake up, and you're just in that world of the book. You kind of slowly come to the realization,
yes,
that what's happened, that
right,
you're in this fantasy world now,
mm-hmm,
and you don't exactly know how you got there. I think at a certain point you realize that the world isn't real and that you're in the book. You haven't
right,
been transported effectively to another dimension.
Yes.
You've gone into the book.
Right.
And then, so the thrust of it is that you're this one kid and you are trying to get out of this world. And so you're coming across the girl who was bullied because of the color of her hair, and
where in this world her hair color is now natural.
Yes.
Right.
And so she prefers it. And the big kicker is the kid that was...
But does she know that she's...
Yeah, they have all of... They know that they are not in
the
reality.
Right. This is like Jumanji.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yes, it's basically Jumanji.
Right.
But the kid in the wheelchair, in this world, he's no longer wheelchair... He's like the prince of the world.
Right.
Of the kingdom.
Yes,
he's like Jumanji. He's no longer wheelchair bound.
Yes.
And his mother's alive again. She's the queen. And so your protagonist is trying to rip them out of this new reality.
Because you're trying to return to the original world. In order to do that,
You want to return to the original world?
Because you don't believe this world is real.
Yes, he believes that this is a fake world,
which it is. Yes, yes.
And doesn't believe that your reality is based on your perception.
Right, but he should have some fucking fun, you know?
Well, he has fun with it for some time and then realizes the famous line from the game is it's escapism. Can't you see it's not healthy?
Right.
Where it's him trying to convince the others that this is not real. Yeah. We need to accept reality.
Yeah.
And a lot of the players, especially younger people who think that, like, yeah, I want to go to this fantasy world.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to leave? Yes. And it drummed up a lot of discussion on, like, is reality just what you perceive? There's all these meta kind of discussions that formed around it that I don't think the developer intended.
Right.
And especially because if you align with the viewpoint that reality is effectively just your perception, then the main character you play as is the villain of this story, and you're trying to, like, paralyze this kid again, kill his mother.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you are, from that perception, absolutely not a good guy.
Right.
Completely, generally justifiable that this kid does not want to leave.
This kid doesn't want to leave this world,
he doesn't want to leave this, like, fantasy world. Because if he leaves, he's wheelchair bound again.
Oh, you're talking about the wheelchair guy. Yes, yeah. I agree with you.
And he's like,
essentially everyone has a better life and partying it up in this new fantasy world. Why would they want to go back?
Exactly.
Yes, but this protagonist that you play, he wants to get everyone back.
Yeah, he doesn't want to stay here.
Right.
Like, he does for a while, but then...
As soon as he realizes it's not the real world,
he also, I think, is... There's a bit of a dilemma, because I believe he, like, misses his family, because his family was not transported there. They were ripped out. But it's like, a lot of people, I think, if you pitch them the questions, like, hey, would you go to a fantasy world with magic and whatever? I think you actually touched on this last time, briefly. Even if you're just an NPC... If you were to say, like, you would never see any of your friends, any of your family again, I think quite a few people would actually say, like, yeah, throw me in. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will definitely do it. I mean, I'm just thinking of Jumanji, which is, like, you go into this world, and the question is, like, if I'm only in it for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, I don't mind. And if, you know, I can mulligan it, which means if I... fuck up, die, get eaten by a dragon, I can still get back to my original world.
Yeah, there's none of that.
Play again. Oh, you can't?
No. If you die, you're dead.
Oh, right. So you can't go back to your... Yeah,
it's effectively...
It's essentially you transport this world, and this world is now your life.
Right.
Like, there's no... And I think the other part is that I think they can't go back on their... I think it's like the prince guy that can, like, walk in and has his mother now. I think that he
has the power to go back.
He has the power to go back, so he's the person you have to just
browbeat
into, like, hey, no, you've got to do this. We have to go back.
I think about... Okay, so I was just reading up on... We're in Sydney, and this area is apparently, like, Gadigal land or whatever. Mm-hmm. Your nation, like, the original custodians.
Yeah.
You know, they want this land for, like, hundreds and thousands of years. And I was reading about this history yesterday, and our conversations touches upon that, because you think about all those convicts from England that came down here to become essentially colonists and to grow a colony. It's similar, isn't it? Because they left England, they came here, it's a totally new world, they're probably never going to go back.
Yeah.
And the question is, like, I mean, they didn't have any excitement. Obviously, they were convicts, and they probably wouldn't.
Plenty of people were colonists, though. There were definitely people that opted to.
Exactly, but there were. Yeah, you're right. Like, governors would be sent down here for 20 years before they could go back, or maybe they just stayed here for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. Would we do that? I think if you were a young individual, you probably wouldn't mind. You wouldn't put too much weight on family, I think. Sometimes you just say, I want to go on an adventure. But if you're like, you know, 50, 60 years old, you probably wouldn't. So it would depend whether I would or not.
I think it doesn't even come down to age. I think it comes down to just circumstances. Some people will sit there and say like, no, I'm good. And some people will say, yeah, give me a mulligan. Let me, like, I
feel like young kids don't mind. Audiences. But older audiences want to be able to get
back. Younger audiences, they don't take... they don't consider everything, maybe.
Yeah, like, that's
the
point.
They're not taking everything into consideration of what it means to up and out.
Yeah, completely. But that's the only way that you can really truly be an explorer, which is like, you know, to essentially fuck everything and realize everything's a sunk cost and, you know, that I mean, it entails with much more risk and danger, but I don't know whether we're still in the realm of talking about games, but I'm sort of thinking just when I'm looking at Jumanji.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I picked up a fucking board game on a beach and it went doom-doom-doom-doom-doom, and I go, oh shit, this is Jumanji, would I want to play it? And I think...
Well, Jumanji's a video game now anyway, so it's fine.
Video game.
I didn't see the movies, but yeah.
Oh, you didn't see the movies, yeah.
I saw the original Jumanji movie. I didn't see the ones with The Rock, where it's a video game.
Right. So, for me, when I watched the first Jumanji, I didn't want to be in it. I didn't want to play the game. Because the first Jumanji was scary as fuck.
Yes, it seemed like
the world of Jumanji is like...
But this Jumanji, if I could hang out with Kevin Hart, it's pretty fucking hilarious.
Well, you don't see... I can't remember, but in the original Jumanji, do you see much of the Jumanji?
You don't.
Jumanji
comes to you.
Yeah, and it's like every time it comes, it's like, this is a fucking nightmare. Get me out of here. Like, this guy's trying to kill me. I'm turning into a monkey. This is not great.
Yes. But if I was to just reflect upon both of these movies, yeah, I feel like my younger self would more likely have, you know, jumped into the game and just forget about it.
I think I would have taken an
adventure.
I think I could have, if I was like 16, I probably wouldn't even consider, like, if you just gave me I wouldn't even consider, but I won't see my family and friends or whatever again.
Right.
I'd just probably say, like, fantasy world, makes sense. Sure, sounds cool.
Yeah, so this new, so this Final Fantasy game, it's sort of like, everyone else except the protagonist not only do they have a youthful heart and youthful spirit, but they also had a shit existence, I suppose.
They just sort of had problems. Yeah. They had something that they were having a lot of difficulty with.
Right.
And that's...
And it legitimized them wanting to be be somewhere else. I talked about it with Ray yesterday, which is like one person's, you know, right, it's sort of like another person's responsibility to respect their rights. Like, you know, if he wants to go back, then he sort of ruins the lives of all those others. And if all those others want to stay, they're sort of ruining the protagonist's, you know, I don't know, is it a wish or bond with his parents or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyways, so coming back to the topic, it was controversial.
It wasn't controversial. It was just an interesting narrative which kind of developed that seemed just not in line with, I think, where the writing was.
Right.
Because the writing seemed pretty clear that the protagonist is meant to be the good guy. And you are supposed to agree with him. And you are supposed to go on this quest and fix it.
Right.
And then there was, when it came out, there was pretty quickly this counter-narrative that this guy is the villain, and people that hold to this day that, like, this guy was just, like, he was in the wrong. Just, like, if you look at it from a moral standpoint, they just think that he was in the wrong.
Right. Okay, I'm going to put it to you this way, right? I think it makes sense for gamers. So, what do gamers do? They want to participate in a fantasy world. And the worst thing you can do is deny a gamer the right to play a game.
Yeah.
And what you're doing in this fantasy, a Final Fantasy game, is you're doing something similar. There's this group of players, some that are disabled, some, you know, family problems, and they all end up reading a book, and they enter into this fantasy world, right? You as a gamer totally can understand why they want to stay in that fantasy world.
Yeah, I think there is probably some, like, I don't think the idea completely took them, like, sidewinded them in, like, the idea that people may not agree with the protagonist entirely, just because, like, it's a Final Fantasy game.
Yes.
And they're getting sucked into a book called Final Fantasy. It's like, it's not super surprising
that
I think that's the outcome. But I think the level of disagreement is what probably surprised people.
And they, so...
Especially on just like the moral part of it, where it's like, well, you are telling this kid to kill his mother so that you can go back. It's a pretty rough pretty hard thing to tell someone to do.
And that's the only way to go back, is it?
Yes. Because his mother. Yeah, because his mother is dead in reality.
You're
telling him to kill his mother to make his father poor again.
Right.
And you're basically breaking your own sibling's legs.
Right. But why did the creator or the author thought that that was painting the... Like, what was good about this kid then? Because he had every intention of painting him as a, you know, as a kind, good protagonist.
I think it's just that... Well, that's the point. It's like, he hits all the narrative tropes that you associate with, like, the kind protagonist.
Right, and
that he's trying to do the right thing.
Right.
Like, he acts like he's doing the right thing. People in the game agree with him. Like, you slowly, like the other people you meet, you slowly bring them onto your side of the argument, and they start helping you to convince the other people that you're in the right.
Right.
But it's like mother, all of this stuff just like...
Yes, but if your mother didn't exist, why can't you kill this thing that doesn't exist?
But she exists in this world.
Right.
So the argument basically comes down to just...
Yeah.
Does she actually exist?
Yes.
This world is clearly...
Right.
Fiction is clearly of this book. We all know that it came from this book.
Yes.
He just doesn't care.
Yes.
And the argument is... Do you care? If this is the Matrix, do you care? And I think a lot of people just said
that's very deep.
I just it's like if it's all simulated, it doesn't matter. We live by our experience. Like nothing changes really. This
But he doesn't just live in the simulated world. He lives in both worlds.
He lives entirely in the simulated world now. He remembers the other world. He knows the other world.
But he can go back.
No one can go back.
He can't go back?
No one can go back. They're stuck in this world unless they convince like this guy whose mother had died to take them back.
Exactly.
He's the person that is...
But the protagonist remembers the old world.
Yeah.
All four of these people.
Yes, all four. Yeah.
And these are the only four that remember the old world.
Right.
Yeah,
so these four, they... I mean, let me ask you about this. It's like you're sleeping and you're in a dream, you know, and I don't know about you, but when I have dreams, you know, I do some questionable things,
you know,
a lot of them illegal. I don't feel fucking bad about it.
Okay.
Because I go back to the real world and realize, hey.
Except you don't know that if you die here.
Yes.
Like, if you get hurt, bleed.
If I die here.
It's not like you're removed from consequences. It's an entirely separate reality. All intents and purposes in the story.
Yes.
That is now your
reality.
It's
your reality. And for the entirety of the game, minus the very, very start and the very, very end, that's the world you inhabit. You only very briefly see the actual real world. You spend far, far more time in the actual, like, fake world.
Wow, this is a deep fucking question. It's like a very philosophical question. Okay, so then what ended up happening?
I mean, basically they succeed.
You end up convincing the kid to return us all back to the original world.
Yeah. They basically agree that yes, it's escapism. We're not dealing with our problem because all of them is effectively their...
Who succeeded?
The protagonist. So he slowly... convinces the other kids that that he is in the right, that this escapist mentality, escapism mentality rather, is just not healthy because they're just avoiding these problems by being here.
So then this original game didn't change itself as a response to all this criticism?
Change itself? How would it change itself?
I don't know.
Like it was already released.
It comes out as like, a complete problem. Right. It can't change. It's like a book.
It's a Game Boy game.
Right. Yeah. So, and it wasn't a successful game.
No, I mean, it was pretty successful. It got a sequel.
Right.
Sequel's like different.
Yeah.
It's not like a continuation.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. And so why didn't you want to talk about it now that we've talked about it?
So the issue is, I think the game is interesting. I think the story is interesting. I think it's a really good game. I just don't think it's a good thing to... It's like when you talk about, if you want to talk about games, mm-hmm, right, mm-hmm, and your direction you're taking there is like, well, I like stories, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, I can understand the stories. Mm-hmm. Well, that's like saying, we're going to talk about a movie, mm-hmm, but we're not allowed to talk about music.
Right.
We're not allowed to talk about cinematography.
Right, right,
we're not allowed
right,
to talk about,
right,
you know, yeah, et cetera.
Yeah. Because yeah. No, we talk about all of it.
We're not talking about, yeah, you have to yes, view it as a cohesive thing, and yes, if you're yes, just yes, focusing on the story,
yes,
it's good.
Yes.
But the gameplay yes, is like, it's fine.
Yes.
But it's nothing remarkable.
Right. Okay. And this was the thing that you guys were going to talk about today, which then you decided not to talk about.
Yeah. But we spent a good 20 minutes on it, so
okay,
not too
bad. Okay, so we talked about it. Is there anything in particular that you guys have in mind for the podcast today?
I didn't think that far ahead. Right. I just wanted to shut things down. I'm not creative.
Right. Well, it's okay. I mean, I you know, I know you guys don't think ahead much.
I do think ahead a bit, but I wasn't sure if we wanted to get into... It's a bit like...
We can go into mechanics if you want.
It's not mechanics. I was thinking about ludonarrative dissonance.
Okay, what's that? That sounds very interesting.
So ludonarrative dissonance, do you know it?
Yes. Can I just say something? When you said that, I don't know how many words, I don't know how many syllables you uttered. Okay, so there's two words. Luminato dissonance.
Ludonarrative
dissonance. Ludonarrative dissonance.
So ludic means like all encompassing, like, and it's for video games specifically.
Like Luda.
Yes.
Right.
But it's basically the yes, three aspects of video games,
okay,
which are gameplay, story,
yes,
and simulation.
Yes.
And different games, if that's a triangle, you
yes,
kind of pin different games as the different areas into that, as to what kind of things they're doing. So if you look at something like...
Gameplay, story, and simulation.
Yeah, so if you look at something like
yes,
Grand Theft Auto, right?
Yeah.
You could put that pretty cleanly in the middle, because it's got a lot of simulation, it's got a lot of gameplay, and it's got a lot of story.
Well, what is simulation?
Simulation is, I don't know, that's the most nebulous of the terms, to be honest. Simulation, I think, is generally just like how effectively it's recreating its worlds or its what it's doing. So I think Pac-Man is very story light and skews heavily to gameplay, but has a bit of simulation there in, I don't know, just like its effectiveness.
What, so how well it follows its own rules?
Yes, I think so. It's right. I'm a bit rough on like what the simulation part means.
Right. Okay.
But the ludonarrative dissonance is the concept that the things in that triangle
mm-hmm,
are kind of running against each other. So the term came around. It's a pretty recent term for games, because games are still in their infancy. Like the people making games today probably didn't grow up playing games still. That's not true. There's definitely people in their like 20s.
It's starting.
It's changing, yeah. But a lot of the old guard are, you know, still winging it effectively. It's not like film where there's 100 years of history to go through.
Yes.
But the point is, there was a game called...
Yeah, that's very interesting.
There was a game called Bioshock. Bioshock. And Bioshock was based on like Ayn Rand and this kind of fictional setting of this person that builds this underwater city... And doesn't want to be. It doesn't matter. What it means is like
it's high in philosophy. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, I've never read the Ayn Rand stuff. I mean, if you guys can explain it to me, that'd be great.
No, I'm not a. Ayn Rand stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't like Bioshock too much. The example I always.
No, that's just surprising to me.
It was fine.
Continue.
Whatever. It was fine. The example I always point to is they rebooted Tomb Raider.
Yep.
A while ago,
yep.
And that's when I first kind of became aware of the term and saw it a bit more in use. And it was used because in that story, Tomb Raider is known as like Lara Croft is like a badass. She uses pistols, goes solo delving into like ancient tombs and civilizations, and is an explorer. And people really like her for that character
in Hot Pants.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's why people like her.
There's a lot of reasons.
Yes. Let's get our priorities straight.
Sure.
you missed the point, man.
back when trying it. Never mind.
Anyway, there was. So when they rebooted it, they said, "Well, that Tomb Raider already exists. That Lara Croft already exists.
Yeah.
So we're gonna scale it back, and we're gonna have like young Lara Croft. she's going to be old enough. She's like 20 or 19 or something like that.
Right.
Old enough to be like an adult, right, but has no experience in this stuff.
Right.
And she fucks up a whole bunch. She gets like badly hurt and has to figure out how to survive. She doesn't know how to treat injuries. And it's going to be more of a like survival tale.
Right. No, I appreciate
her, like,
that. Yeah,
trapped on this island
with
people how to kill her. So there's a really... The scene where it hit me really hard was... There's a scene where you've kind of first encountered there are enemy, like, I guess you call them like cultists on the island. They're just like primitive people that aren't actually primitive. They have guns.
Right.
But they're like weird and trying to kill you. That's all you know.
Okay.
They've killed a couple of people that you've been with, so you know they're hostile. And you're basically sneaking around and you get caught by one of them and pinned up against a tree and you're kind of tussling a bit.
Right.
And then you fall to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you've done no violence whatsoever. You had to kill a deer with a bow to get some food and make a fire.
So you don't know you are like the Tomb Raider yet?
No, you're like, you freaked the fuck out when you had to kill a deer.
Right.
Your hands are shaking. You can barely hold this bow.
Right. So you're not even like a trained assassin yet?
No, you're like, you're fresh out of uni. You are a like 19-year-old girl. That's what you are.
Right.
So you're like an adult, but like you're in a fucking bad situation. Okay. So you're wrestling with this guy.
Yeah, you told me that a lot of guys didn't want to play this game because of this character, but now I can see why.
No, that's just because guys are idiots.
All right.
It's just because guys, I can't play a female character. I can't empathize with them. Can't put myself in their shoes or hot pants. Can't do it.
But you're literally putting yourself in their shoes.
It's dumb. I don't understand the mentality of this is the female protagonist.
I feel like this. I'm gonna learn a lot. Should I ever play this game? I'm gonna learn all about female psychology.
Yeah, to get to the ludonarrative point.
Yes.
The dissonance is when you tussle with this guy. You fall to the ground. He drops his gun.
Yes.
You take his gun. You shoot him. And then you start freaking out. Like Lara starts freaking out.
Yes.
She's never had to do anything like that. Yes. She immediately vomits.
Really?
She's like the screen is like swirling and pulsing and shaking. You're just like having an episode.
Yes,
and it's yeah, that's pretty well done.
Yes.
And then a couple of enemies come towards you and now you have control of your character and I'm fucking popping headshots like it's nothing. It's like I have complete control of my character now. I'm not like disabled.
Because now she...
Now it's
she
me
wakes
in,
up.
Now it's me... No, now it's me in control.
What do you mean you in control?
As in you play as
the... I didn't
Croc
pull that trigger. A cutscene happened.
Oh,
and in the story, this is how this played out.
Right.
And then I got control of the character.
Oh, right.
And I've been playing video games for 30 fucking years.
Yeah, yes.
And so I just went, okay, pop, 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 and killed three guys like it was fucking nothing.
Right.
Then fucking ran and like shoulder barged a guy off a fucking ledge.
Yes.
That's completely like...
That
opposite of where like what should happen if I was designing it.
Yes,
like if I'm a backseat game designer.
Yes, yes.
Is like if you want to do that and you want to give me a gun, there should be like one other guy approaching me and I should barely be able to hold the gun.
Yeah,
I should aim all over the place.
Yes.
My vision should be blurry. Not like I have complete control over this and I can just go pop 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 and kill three guys like it's nothing and there's no ramifications.
Yeah, yeah.
That's ludonarrative dissonance. It's when things just aren't like congruent as a whole.
I understand already.
You know what game that did do that well? Far Cry 3.
Far Cry 2, do you mean?
The
one in Africa?
Possibly.
Two is the one where you can get like
where you're stuck in a cage at the very beginning.
That's 3.
Yeah, I'm talking about 3.
Okay. No.
No?
2, yes. 2 is the one where you can fucking contract malaria. Yeah. 2 is a weird game. 2 is actually a game designed to not be fun. 2 is also a really interesting game from a mechanics perspective. Because they designed it to be intentionally...
What do you mean designed to not be fun?
They like, it's designed to
be more
obstruct
realistic?
Your fun most of the time. So it's not designed to be a power fantasy. Which is a bit more common now, but when that came out, it was certainly really, really unique in its I guess just its approach.
You know, when you talk about Lara Croft, maybe the game wasn't designed for someone like you who have a lot of experience with games. Maybe it was also designed for someone who doesn't have a lot of experience, so they'll also play sort of like Lara Croft in the in the cinematic where they miss. Oh, okay, I'm wrong.
So yes, so the issue with that is there's another example. The Tomb Raider games were heavily inspired of another franchise of games, the new one. They kind of, when they did the reboot,
mm-hmm.
they based it on a franchise called Uncharted. And Uncharted is kind of an Indiana Jones-esque adventure. It's kind of a mix of Indiana Jones and the original Tomb Raider game.
Right.
And the guy you play in that is always supposed to be a good guy. And there was... that people also pointed to ludonarrative dissonance in that game. Basically because you're like jokey, everyone likes this guy, he's very charismatic, he's really well acted. But you kill thousands of people in that game. You kill people without remorse constantly. So people said the same thing to that. To the point where I think in the fourth game they made like a secret achievement to kill like a few thousand people, right. like 5,000 people or something like that. And the achievement was called ludonarrative dissonance. So in Tomb Raider's case, the reboot, you also just have to kill hundreds and hundreds of people. And that's where, like, even if it's an amateur playing it, this character here is going to come out of this with a kill count probably maybe in the thousands. At which point, the argument of this is, like, it just doesn't mesh. Yes. It just doesn't mesh with, like, the story where at the end of the game she's having her powerful moment and, like, shooting the villain. Yes. It's like, it doesn't work because she's already killed thousands of people at that point.
So you, I mean, the only person you can blame is really the game designers, right?
So the game designers blame the players in Why? An interesting twist because they came out and because this criticism was yes. was levied at the game.
Yes.
Or
maybe you can blame the technology, which they didn't have the technology good enough to simulate.
No, it was specifically the game itself because
right.
So they basically defended the decision to have her kill so many people in the game, basically under the specifically saying at a certain point, it's a video game. And there's an expectation of what players want. And so the second game did the same thing. Like, you're a bit older. Like, it's like a year or two later or something like that. Probably just a year later. But you're still, like, pretty naive. But you still kill hundreds and hundreds of people in the game.
Right.
It was only the third game that was actually handled by a different studio.
Right.
Where they actually scale it back. And you probably only kill, like, 30, 40 people in the whole game.
Yeah. I mean, I might be... Because I have no idea what I'm talking about. All this is new to me. But... the excuse that this is just a video game, ultimately it's just a video game, sort of is insufficient, right? Because, they're all video games. The whole point is, like, you're meant to try and make it a bit more interesting for the player.
No, you're sort of misunderstanding. When they say right. it's a video game,
yeah.
what they mean is players have an expectation that there will be guns and killing in this game.
Right.
Because there are guns and killings in video games, and
right.
this is a game with guns and killing.
Right.
So we can't just have, like, it's not.
But then, why do you introduce such a narrative then?
Because that's the narrative they wanted to tell, and
right.
the reality is that, like I said, I mentioned it before, where they say gameplay is king. They will design levels
right.
and such well before, and environments and combat encounters often before any kind of narrative is fully constructed.
Understood.
And then they have to fit that narrative into the.
But can I ask you, which is, was this game successful? Because that's probably the ultimate
yeah,
test.
It was successful. People liked it. It's a good game.
It was?
Yeah. It's a good game. I played all three of the games. They're solid games. They have
right.
they have their problems, but right. this is more of a meta thing. I don't hold this ludonarrative dissonance thing against it. I just think it's a really clear example of when the gameplay is working against the story.
So after all the backlash, it still did alright.
It didn't suffer backlash to this. It's just when it became mainstream kind of discussion.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, games are commercial, a part of a commercial enterprise, you know, so there's probably some marketing dude in a suit giving presentations and saying, hey, look, you know, none of this shit matters so long we make money. And there's probably, like, two camps in the company, you know, developers and people who are more aspiring for something higher in terms of storytelling and maybe visuals and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's... And...
They did try with the story. It's not even a bad story.
Yeah. No, you can see the try. Yeah. I mean, one way... Every time you see something go bad in life Okay, because it's a product of a team, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you see something that you know is a product of a team... and it doesn't turn out very well. There's always two explanations. One is the team as a whole doesn't give a shit. Or two is there's an aim. You know, there's a conflict within the team in terms of either execution or intention, which is not, you know, everyone agrees on the fundamental purpose or the fundamental result, which is like, we need to create a game. But how you get there maybe not everyone's in agreement. Some people envision it as something that's more, you know, cinematic, and others just envision it as a more, you know, shoot and kill and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, if you don't have a meeting of the mind, and you know, you get these problems, especially when teams are big.
That's true, but I think it is far more to do with just the way that games have to be developed and the way that the story has to come last, because it's the easy part,
right,
compared to the rest of the development.
Right.
The writer for it, do you know Terry Pratchett, the writer? He did the Discworld series, things like that.
No,
old fantasy writer. Right. Good writer, though.
Right, right.
His daughter, who is also a writer, is the person that wrote the game.
Right.
And she pretty publicly went out after the game, not bashing the game, but she went out and did interviews on the game and said, like, the difficult thing about it is, like, she can see the faults. She understands the problems that this kind of has with the story.
But when you say she wrote the game, she wrote the narrative, or she wrote also how the game will be played?
No, she's writing the narrative, and that's the problem.
Right.
It's like, she is a competent writer. She's a good writer.
Right.
But she had not done a game before, and she had no idea how, like, difficult writing in that industry is.
Right.
Because the reality is, like, well, if you come to a point where someone says, hey, this encounter you have here, where she kills a bunch of people,
right,
that kind of goes against what we're doing in the story. And they say, well, we spent 7 months working on that encounter and getting it working.
Yeah, so then we're not fucking
taking it out.
I mean, if you ask me, then I'd rather blame the author than the people that made the game. It's just like Counter-Strike, right? Counter-Strike, as far as I could tell when I played it, you know, 20 years ago, there was no fucking story.
There's no story now.
Yeah, there's a bunch of terrorists, and I shoot them.
Yeah, sometimes you are the terrorist.
Half the time, I am the terrorist, and I shoot the counter-terrorist guys in the police.
Yeah.
Right? And it was a perfectly good game. Now,
but that's not trying to tell
you can
a narrative.
Cloak a narrative on top of it. You could. You could cloak a narrative on top of it. Yeah. You can probably design a map such that there is a mission, there's a purpose, whatever. But fundamentally, the game dynamics, the mechanics, the look, it's already set. And if you... And you probably would sell it better. Like, it would be more marketable if, like, there's a narrative behind it, right? So you get someone to write a narrative.
Multiplayer game like that? It's hard to say.
Just stay with me. Just stay with me, right? And, you know, and if some guy comes in and writes a decent narrative, it'll work. Like, the narrative is, you know, a bunch of terrorists blew up a building in New York, and now they are scattered in different urban areas in the world, and you are, you know, some CIA, you command a bunch of troops, and you're sending these troops in, or someone's sending these troops in, and you play one of these troops, right?
Uh-huh.
That can work. But something that might not work is if you say some shit like, oh, you know, you are a 5-year-old that grew up in a poor neighborhood, and one day you found this girl, you fell in love with her, and then you grew up to be 15, 16, and she left you, and you ask her, why did she leave you? And she said, oh, I need you to be a cop, you're not a cop, so you don't love me, and I'm gonna, you know, go fuck yourself. So then I became a fucking cop for her, and now I'm stuck in this game called Counter-Strike. Like, one narrative probably can work with Counter-Strike. The second narrative, you really need to put some fucking work into it if you're gonna make it work.
How do you deliver this narrative?
Exactly, like, is it a cinematic? Like, if you put that cinematic in, like, it might not, it, you know, it's probably a little bit too difficult, it's too far reaching, even though it's much more rich in terms of you know, a narrative, but it's probably not gonna work. But the formal one, which is like, yeah, there's a bunch of terrorists that blew up, and that's basically blew up the building, and now, you know, the CIA is trying to kill them. That one, it's a simple narrative, but it's consistent with the story. In other words, the first one has less dissonance, the second one has more dissonance. And so then the question is, who do you blame? Do you blame the storyteller, or do you blame the game designer?
It's sort of neither. It's the reality of game design and how kind of game design pipelines
but work. Why can't the fucking writer of the narrative just fucking play the game?
They can play the game.
Yeah, and then they can write the story.
The issue is that the narrative person comes in often toward the end.
But that makes sense, right?
It makes sense, but then they have to shoehorn... They have to work around the stuff that's already been created. They have to snake through these encounters. If they're telling the story of this frail person, they have to kind of now just sort of hand wave the fact that she has to kill a lot of people.
Right. But what I'm saying is it does make sense that if a game is shit because of the story, that you blame the story. But if a game that is shit because of the gameplay, like...
But neither of these parts...
Right.
The interesting part here is that neither of these parts are bad.
Right, right,
the gameplay is good.
Right, it's just
and
that...
And the story is good. Right. But when they come to
together,
a point,
yes.
that's when it's like...
Right.
It's this problem.
Yes.
And this happens in movies as well. This
right.
isn't unique to video games, although
right, right.
it's not as talked about in movies.
Right. But can you think of it in movies?
Sure. Yeah. I've saw someone talk about ludonarrative dissonance in a movie. They called it like cine-narrative dissonance.
Yes.
Their example was Transformers. And their example was the girl, I've forgotten her name because that's how bad
Megan Fox,
it is.
Megan Fox.
Her character.
Yes, yes.
She is a mechanic.
Yes.
She's smart.
Yes.
She's like proactive in the story.
Yes, everyone can dream, right?
Yeah, no, but she fixes cars.
Yes.
She like has all of these things going for her.
Yes.
She's way more important.
What's
to
wrong
the
with that, Byron?
She's way more important than the to the story than
yes.
the main character Sam. But the movie itself,
Wiki. Yes.
Yeah, but
yes,
the movie
yes.
itself frames her
right.
as a piece of ass. It's constantly just showing her
right.
as a piece of ass, and that's it. That's how the movie frames her, and that actually works in contrast to
how is that different to Tomb Raider?
It's the same. That's
no,
my
right.
point.
Okay.
But
okay.
my point is,
yes.
This game does not sexualize Lara Croft. It went
okay.
out of its way to like, hey,
yes,
that
so
stuff was like
to.
The old thing.
Right.
This is a
I've
new...
never played Tomb
yeah,
Raider.
Yeah.
I've only heard shit about it. So, all right.
Yeah. But like, I mean, Tomb Raider is a good game.
I've watched the film. It seemed a little, well, actually.
I thought the movie was okay. It was dumb, but all right.
Yeah, but I didn't think it was sexualizing, what the fuck is her name?
I mean, it obviously was, but
Angelina Jolie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
That. It totally does.
It did. I think there was like one scene where like she fucking took a shower and shit, and that's pretty much it. Though.
I mean, she also wears like booty shorts.
Everyone fucking wears booty shorts. That doesn't
I don't
mean
think they
like...
do. I think I can tell you that Angelina Jolie herself,
yes,
said this was like. Whenever that came out, I remember
yes.
the press tour about
yes,
it.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
she said something along the lines of like, well...
Okay, I'm desensitized to that
it's
shit.
Like,
it's
like, it's... I mean,
like
so am I as well.
Yes.
But I remember she said like, it's... You know, she's like raiding tombs in like these shorts that like nobody would ever wear.
Yeah, it doesn't make any fucking like...
But it doesn't
sense
matter.
Because
she's
like
it's fun fantasy adventure movie. It doesn't matter.
Yes, yes, yes. But okay. I didn't realize that's called sexualizing. Okay.
But my point was that the movie frames her
yeah,
as...
Yeah.
this hot piece of ass.
Yes, yes. Megan Fox.
Yes, but
mm.
the narrative
mm-hmm.
and all of her characteristics
yes.
actually go against that. They, the, like, her character and the...
But why can't she be a hot piece of ass that
can
do all this shit as well?
She can, but the movie doesn't frame it. The movie frames her as...
Right.
She is fixing this car.
Yes.
And what's actually happening is she's holding the car up so you can see her exposed stomach and
right.
the sweat that's dripping off it.
Right.
Like, meticulously rolling down her stomach and
right,
belly
right.
It's like, it's completely irrelevant that she knows what she's talking about and she's smart and she's fixing this car. It's not the point. The point is she has her exposed belly. And
okay, I understand what you're saying.
It.
So like, there's this script and this script on paper
yes.
was just words, you
yes.
know, text
but when
and,
it was filmed,
and pages.
Totally different.
Yes, and it said, hey, you know, this is, I don't know, you know, like a V8, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then
Michael Bagel got a hold of it and he's
yeah.
like, yeah, but also...
Yeah, now I have to put an image to this.
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to say these lines? And he decided, all right, you're going to say these lines
and
with your ass out.
You don't even remember the stuff she was talking about. I don't remember what she was talking about
I
in
don't,
that scene.
Yes.
I know that the hood of the car was open
yes.
and there was sweat rolling down
yes.
her belly button.
Well, it's self-evident that none of us know what she was talking about, but all of us remember there was a Megan Fox.
Exactly.
And you didn't even know her fucking name, Byron. You're the worst.
I believe it's Katie.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Yeah, you don't even remember the actress's name. You just remember
I know Megan Fox.
Yeah. Fuck. But it doesn't make the movie bad. So,
I would
is
say
that
the framing of that character does make the movie bad.
Really?
Yeah. I think you can point to that. Like,
I think you're like $500 billion worth of wrong.
No, I think... Well, I mean, I think the movie is a piece of shit.
Oh, it was $500 billion, I think it probably goes. Something like
I don't care about how much a movie makes. I think Transformers is a piece of shit. I think Transformers 2, which also
yeah.
has the exact same problem...
Yeah.
I was mad about that movie for like two fucking weeks. I fucking despise that movie.
You're blasting this out to the universe.
That's fine.
Transformers and shit.
Yeah. No, the second movie was.
I think the first movie was pretty bad, and the second movie was like, I want to fucking like leave now. Now.
I didn't think, I mean, it was the entertaining stuff, man. It didn't have to, like, oh, fuck. Like, fuck you guys.
But can,
like,
you, can you at least see the argument?
Yes, yeah, I can. I honestly can. Yeah, that's
ultimately all that matters. Like, whether or not you liked the movie is kind of irrelevant. But you can see that, like, this can happen in other mediums as well.
I agree. Yes. And yes, what you're saying is a good example for games. What is a game that doesn't have this, right? Like, for example, we talked about this previously, StarCraft.
Yeah,
like the cinematic worked well with the game, even though the game, you know, the game is set, like, you don't really need to know the cinematic to know StarCraft, right?
Yeah, well, there's
but the cinematic makes sense.
There's hundreds and hundreds of examples where the story works fine. I think it's rarer for it to actually
not work
be
fine.
Noticeably harmful to it.
Okay.
Generally, again, because I think video games have pretty bad writing, and so the expectation. There's a lot of famous quotes about video games and the writing on them. From id Software, John Carmack once said that, who's the creator of Doom, one of the co-creators of Doom, he said that, like, story in video games is like story in porn. You kind of expect it to be there, but it's not why you're there.
Another guy,
Kevin Piera, who was a journalist, said enjoying the story in video games is like eating soup because you enjoy a spoon.
Right. That's fantastic quote, yeah.
Yeah, I really like that one. But it's...
Yeah.
It's just because
we hear some random sound, it's our cleaner.
Yeah, because it often takes such a backseat, I think that this is rarely an issue. But when you put the story front and center, it can be a problem.
Byron, I actually have a question now, which is, do you think games have improved over time?
Yeah. I mean,
in what sense? Like, what sense is Joe talking about?
No, yeah. I'm asking him. Yeah, in what sense?
I mean,
you say yes.
I mean, it depends on your metric.
Yes, what is a metric to say yes?
But my metric is, I think that just, like, they've got increased levels of complexity that I think...
Yeah, because you have to say just graphics, right? If it's just graphics alone, then...
Yeah, but even if you just look at, like... I use the example of, like, simulation in, like, Grand Theft Auto. It's like, that's fucking wild that they can do that. That they can make a city like that. And just make it run. And just people will walk around. They will go into stores. They will buy things. They will go to their homes. They will drive around. It's crazy they can do that. And it's not quite as complex as I'm making it out to be there. There's a lot
of
tricks involved.
I've only seen it, yeah.
There's a lot of tricks in, like, how they make the AI around people act realistically. But it's still, like, very impressive. Just the idea of, like, that you can make, like, even, like, pathing and people avoiding things. Like, the idea that, like cars stop if people walk in front of them. All these, like, small things that are like, yeah, of course the car fucking stops. If you punch someone in front of a cop, they'll get out and chase you down. Like, these things are all, like, just, there's so many tiny details that I think are actually really impressive. That bucket of ice I mentioned in Metal Gear Solid that melts at different speeds depending on if the ice is near other pieces of ice or not.
It's like... Yeah, they're not crazy.
This is not in Pac-Man. It doesn't need to be, obviously. But, like, that level of intricacy adds a lot of stuff to it. I think it adds a lot.
You can also backtrack a lot as well, no?
Yeah. There's plenty of games that have gone too far in trying to do much. I mean, Cyberpunk recently was kind of a hot mess when it came out. It's still a hot mess.
Cyberpunk wasn't good, right? Like, it wasn't...
It's a good game, but it's... Cyberpunk is a victim of hype, of people having unreal expectations of what the game was. But it did have a lot of problems when it came out. It had lots of bugs and glitches.
But it was just meant to be like Grand Theft Auto, right?
But it was a bad attempt at that. They were specifically citing Grand Theft Auto as a point of inspiration and like what they wanted to achieve. But they just fell short of the mark because that's very, very hard to do. Like, Rockstar is basically the only one that makes those kind of games with that level of complexity. Other people do it, but they scale back on what it does. Red Dead Redemption, the other game that Rockstar makes... The point for that, where people were like, holy shit, they really went all out when this game came out, was when you take your horse, if you have a male horse and you take it into a frozen area,
the
balls
testicles
shrink because it's cold, and that's what horse balls do in the cold. It's like, why go to that level of detail? Don't know.
Because it's art.
Because they did. Because yes. they are the people that can make that.
Yeah.
And like,
because they have a passion for it.
Yeah, because you put so much into it, and like, if you work on that game and it's got that much in it, and it's that successful, when you leave, you can go wherever the fuck you want. You write your own check at that point.
Yeah.
Because you worked on fucking Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, I respect that.
Yeah. So like, they go all out because that's what they do, and those games sell insanely well.
And do they and their narratives.
Grand Theft Auto 5 is the most successful product in history.
Really? Oh, I don't know anything about this.
Yeah. Like, single product, not franchise, but single product, it has made more money than anything else.
And how much does it sell for example? Do you know how much, like, is it like $50, $100?
When it came out, it would have been $60 or $50 or $60.
And you have to pay, like, a monthly fee on top of that? Just a once-off.
Yeah. But it's sold, and they've released it on, like, it released on, say, the Xbox 360 generation, and then you could buy it on the Xbox One. And now you can buy it on the Xbox Series X. So they've sold it effectively across three generations of consoles and PC. And they continue to update it. It's always on sale. They can basically also sell it for free because the multiplayer, it has microtransactions.
Okay, so this is probably one of the best games out right now.
No. Oh, I don't think it's a very good game at all.
Oh, right.
But...
Well, why don't you think it's a good game?
But it's industry standard, though. It's set a standard, though.
For what?
For games like it, I assume.
It set an unreachable standard.
Okay.
People don't have that kind of budget. They can't do those kind of games.
Right.
Only.
Yeah, but anybody knows. Sony everybody games. Knows Grand Theft Auto. Like, you mentioned name, I'd be like, oh yeah.
But that's more to do with the controversies and the legacy of Grand Theft Auto.
Legacy.
People know Grand Theft Auto.
Okay. For someone like me who doesn't know, what is the controversy and what is it that you don't like?
Which about one? Grand Theft Every Auto? Grand Theft Auto game has been marred in heavy controversy.
All right, like, give me like the top. Three or four, or whatever's on your mind.
Okay, so the top one is probably the only one. Every one of those controversies that we won't bother going into has always driven sales and been successful. There's only one time where the controversy. So, for example,
that's great. That's a great controversy.
When Grand Theft Auto 1 came out, the developers themselves saw that it was getting controversy, and that it was generating
hype.
Not hype, but like knowledge, awareness. It was the first one of the franchises.
Yes.
So they intentionally went out and made their own protests and made their own
That's hilarious.
Pieces against it. They put up things to go against the game, saying this terrible game was coming out, and it generated more interest. So all of the controversies have always made money for them, with the exception of there's a Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, which is a kind of an augmentation of Grand Theft Auto 3. They've effectively released three games in like that engine. But San Andreas had a thing called Hot Coffee, which was the name of the controversy, and the issue was that so what happened was there was a sex mini game in the game, but it was on the disc when you bought it, but there was no way to play it. They had removed it from the game, as in like they had the idea that you could have sex in the game, and you couldn't see anything. It wasn't explicit, but it had come up in like press left, press right, press circle and X, you know, and time it to like you time the button inputs, and it's like, great, you had sex successfully. It was just a dumb thing that they put in the game. It's just a dumb, like,
I don't understand. There is a minigame in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. There's a minigame within it.
Yes.
Where you can sort of act out like you're having sex.
Right. Yeah.
But there was no way to access it normally.
Yeah, in the files. As in, it was residual code.
Okay.
And assets that existed on the disc.
Right.
The code specifically existed on the disc because there was a dancing minigame that used the same code.
Right.
Which is why it stayed on the disc.
Right. So then if you can't access it, then we'll...
So, because people...
They crack at the game
and dig through the files.
Right, right.
And then it came to light that there is a sex mini game in this new Grand Theft Auto game. Yeah. And you can see it and you can play it if you effectively mod your console.
Right.
And force the thing to happen.
Understood.
And so Rockstar then said, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And the game got...
Why did they say, oh, fuck? It's not like...
Because the game was not rated AO. Right. In America, if you get an AO rating...
Okay, because of rating. Okay.
Then you're not sellable in Walmart.
Yes.
You're not sellable anywhere because you're effectively restricted to, like... You just can't sell the game. Games don't come out with AO ratings. They do now. I understand
already. Yes.
But back then, it was a death sentence. So they had to recall, like, thousands and thousands of copies and reissue them to, like, stores that hadn't sold them. And it cost the company, like... over $1 billion.
Really?
Yeah, in total. It was over $1 billion. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I know it was over $1 billion. because they had to recall all these discs and print them. And that recall is effectively like lost sales too. On the plus side, those discs are maybe rare now. Probably not, because it is a Grand Theft Auto game.
Right. Wow.
And then players just modded it back in towards the end.
Yeah.
But that's just the PC.
So because of this, they lost this hot coffee controversy, they lost a lot of money.
Yeah. But that was about, that was the only time that the controversy has lost money. Other times, it's like GTA 2 comes out and it's like, these damn video games are ruining our kids and our society.
Yeah,
and it just makes the money. It just makes the money.
Yeah, because you're driving a car, you're crashing into people, you're shooting into people, you're going to people's houses, right?
Yeah. You know, Grand Theft Auto originally was not a cop game. It was actually a
driving game.
It was a narrative focused game. It wasn't a driving game either. It was a underground, you're a criminal game. But when they were doing development, they realized that players would intentionally, when they were in playtesting, they realized that players would intentionally break the law to get in cop chases and then run away from the cops, because the cops were just supposed to find you and catch you and kill you when in the original game.
And then
you were just supposed to restart from the next story point, from like the previous story point, and not do that again. And then they realized that people were intentionally doing it, and that was where the fun was.
Yeah.
So they retooled the game and focused on that part.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't have these type of games made in China.
No, probably not. Yeah.
But
China makes...
They don't.
Is it nothing?
Name one.
Where you, like, hurt police?
No, definitely not.
Definitely.
If it was, then it's from the West.
I don't know. I've seen some, like, Hong Kong games.
But that's
about it.
They have much more freedom.
So
what is it that you don't like about Grand Theft Auto?
I mean, 5 specifically is the one that I don't like.
What's wrong with 5? What's wrong with the series, actually?
I mean, the series is fine. Like, I liked Grand Theft Auto 2, probably my favorite one.
There's a difference? Like, what is the difference? Is the difference is there a narrative?
1 and
difference?
2 are very different games because they hadn't jumped to 3D yet. Those are like, you view the car from the actual top and you race along like this.
Right.
Like they're similar in what they're doing, but they're much more arcadey.
You can play 1 on a phone.
Yeah, you can play 2 on a phone probably too.
Then they've done that.
But I mean, you can play 3 in San Andreas and Vice City on a phone as well.
No, but I've actually played 1 on a phone. Remember the old Sony Ericsson phone? I played Grand Theft Auto on that once.
Yeah, it was a very old, it was a pretty old game.
Right.
I think I'm not a huge fan of their writing, and I'm not a huge fan of the gameplay. I find it a bit too slow and a bit too meandering around. I do like the multiplayer. I think that when they did 5, they did one thing good, which is effectively just put a bunch of people in the world they created for 5 in the city, which is effectively LA.
Yes.
And they just said, like, rain havoc, here's like 30 people in the city and you can run around and do races together and kill each other or whatever you want, just go nuts. And if one person kills a bunch of players, they get like marked as like a bounty, and then everyone else tries to kill that person because they've been a jerk, so now they're like intentionally you have to chase them down. It's like there's a lot of systems in the multiplayer to make the multiplayer fun, and the multiplayer is why it's the most successful entertainment product of all time.
Like the multiplayer turned it into a sandbox MMO.
Yeah, the multiplayer. Well,
why is the multiplayer fun? Because like, what is about this multiplayer that makes fun?
Just like the chaos of it. There's lots of things. Like you can do like story-driven missions. Like you can set up heists to rob casinos and banks and things like that.
Right.
And then you've got all your players, and you need to coordinate them. So like one of the things I liked, we do like a heist, and the heist starts in like you have to sneak people into a prison, and then while two people are sneaking into the prison, you're just on like voice comms with the two that are sneaking through the prison, and they're trying to like sneak their escape without getting caught, and you got another person who's setting up like a van, who's trying to steal a van as an escape vehicle, and then I was like stealing a plane
from
an aircraft carrier,
and it's the other side, like the other, so there's two teams, is it, and there's another team that's trying to catch.
Yeah, and so like you've all got like your objective, and everyone has to plan and execute.
Yeah, I can see why that's fun.
And it's a lot of fun to like, oh shit, It's like any heist thing. It's like, we got like halfway there and then everything got fucked up.
Yes.
Somebody went loud and shot someone without a silencer.
Yes, and now all
the cops are on us and we're coming to you in the van and you need to lower the fucking back of the plane. We're going to drive the van in it and you need to start taking off now because there's a lot of cops.
And that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It's really fun. Then you got to like fucking land the plane somewhere else.
Right.
It's just like, and that's just like a mission in the game. Yeah. And there's lots of them.
And they've
updated it for the last like 8 years. They've added content to it. So there's like tons of stuff you can do. You can buy houses.
So there's nothing that you don't like about the multiplayer version?
There's stuff I don't like about it.
Like what?
That is clunky. Because they've been updating it for so long, they're at a point now where like they've added so much that the engine itself is kind of starting to strain under the limitations of the engine because they've added so much. But by and large, it's pretty functional. It's pretty fine. But it has its problems.
Right,
there's just like some awkwardness with like menus and things like that. Like a lot of UX stuff that's not super important. But I think UI in games is one of those things that's actually pretty overlooked of how important it is.
Right.
And GTA just doesn't feel good to like pull out your phone and your phone is like your menu and you gotta like.
When you play in these multiplayer games, do you feel you can understand the person, get to know a little bit about the person behind these characters? I mean, you've never seen them, potentially.
You mean the people?
Yeah, the actual people. Like, do they behave in a certain way that is sort of, like, consistent with their actual character as human beings, you know? Like,
No.
Yeah.
Like,
I can imagine, like, a douchebag would, like... Let's just assume there's a strip club in the game. I have no idea if there is none.
Sure there are.
You know, like, you're a douchebag in real life. I can imagine you just, like, hopping on to the strip club, you know, and chilling out there. Whilst if you're, like, a doctor in real life, maybe, like, you know, you really don't want to be, you know, crashing into things and, like...
No, I don't think that's true.
Oh, okay.
So, but I kind of get what you're saying, and you do get a sense of people by playing the game, but only due to time spent with the person.
Okay.
Like, I remember... There was a story of like the original Grand Theft Auto. Oh, okay. For the original Grand Theft Auto, as another controversy, the thing in Grand Theft Auto 3, the controversy that had, and that was by far probably the biggest one, and also the one that made Grand Theft Auto the franchise it is today, the controversy specifically, was that they had a mechanic in the game, and again, come down to intricacy here, you could kill people and they'd just like drop money. In the game. So
what do we kill people and drop money? You can
kill any pedestrian and they probably have some cash on them. It's maybe only like $5. Maybe this person's they're wearing a suit. Maybe you kill them, they drop $100.
Right.
But there was a mechanic there was two mechanics. One is that you could hire prostitutes.
Right.
And one was that you could kill people for money.
Right.
Prostitutes healed you if you hired a prostitute. It wouldn't show anything. Hilarious. The car would just shake and they'd say, And then that was it. Right. And your health would go up. It's a dumb little thing that you can do to get health back.
Right. Which
you'd never really need to do anyway, but it's funny that they do it.
Right.
But then they would take money from you because you're hiring a prostitute.
Yes.
Then you could go and kill the prostitute.
Yes.
And take money their back. Money and your money back. and that specific element, the fact that you could like kill this woman and take your money back is like a massive problem. It blew the game up. Which is probably why it is successful. Because people don't remember Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2.
Yes.
But they're all aware of the franchise now. and that is why they're all aware of the franchise.
No, it makes all the fucking sense. I mean, like, you know, if you're in that world, you can... That's the... Yeah, I mean, you can kill anyone, do anything, right?
Yeah. But it's also, like, it's obvious that they didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
But there's no reason that the game should actually track that she took $250 from you or whatever. It just happened to be that they decided that it would be funny to track that.
No, but if they didn't track it, then, like, you can definitely kill her.
It lowers the quality of the simulation.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
Like,
that's why I think Grand Theft Auto is pretty good at hitting those simulations. But
I think these people are just, like, that's complaining about this thing is just retarded. The whole point is to simulate the world, right? Like, you could do so many retarded shit, and then you pick this one as somehow being more controversial.
It doesn't matter. Like, they don't care. Like, there was an issue. So, another controversy, if you want to get into video game controversies.
Like, I don't understand. Like, why is that any more controversial than just punching someone in the face? Or, like, shooting a random guy in the head, you know, or crashing your car into someone else's car? Why is that specifically more controversial?
Because it doesn't matter. Because
It's not that it's
more controversial. Yeah. You're getting into like a different argument, which is like it's not a controversy.
Right, they're
making it up.
Right, this
they're making up thing because they have narrative might. Another example is a game called Mass Effect. Mass Effect was a big deal when it came out because you could have sex with characters as well.
But
at that point, they were rendered a lot more realistically.
I don't think
there was actual nudity in it, but eventually in later Mass Effect games, there was nudity.
Okay, I have to ask you a question. So you can have sex with people. Can you have sex with anyone?
No, that's the point. You need to actually grow. This is a role-playing game.
Right.
You need to actually like befriend people, and you need to actually grow interest with these people. You need to, you know, have behaved in a way that, like, this person now finds you attractive.
Right.
And it's not like...
And it will always be opposite sex? Okay, it would be the same sex.
There are same-sex relationships as well.
Well, look at this. Like, this is a perfect game. Like,
the point is, when that came out, people were calling it Sexbox. And they were saying, I saw on the news that there was a guy trying to defend it. And they're talking to him saying, like these things, they're just like they're it's demeaning to women. It's like you're just going up to these people and pressing buttons and getting sex, and it's really bad. And he's like,
it's not demeaning towards women, it's demeaning towards everything.
It didn't matter what she was saying didn't actually exist in the game. She didn't have the context that you actually needed to play the game, that you actually needed to like build relationships with these people, because it's supposed to be a game where you build relationships with people. That's what the whole game is.
Really? But did the game actually... Is the game mechanic designed with good intention? Like,
it's designed to be that, like... Because it's...
Like, you actually can learn about relationships and
relationship building. The whole idea was that your choices matter.
Yes. Right. In the game. And it's like...
Well, that's not fun.
So the point is that she was against it. Right. And the person she was interviewing in that interview, which is a good, like, little interview of 2 minutes of it.
Right.
But the guy's saying, like, I really think you're misunderstanding the situation.
Right.
The AI in this game is so sophisticated. This is not just going up to people and demanding sex and that's what the game is. It's like, which is what you're pitching it as. And then later, he's like, have you played the game? And she's like, no. And
but what is the objective of this game? So this objective...
It's a space opera like Star Wars. And it's like you are a character, and you have to save the universe because there's
yes, and so that and there's this side story or side thing where you can develop.
The story. The game itself, these games, the company that makes them, they primarily build games where you have a party of people, and it's about learning about these party of people, these people as individuals, and
are these individuals also other players?
No, it's entirely on your own. It's just it's written. Yeah, it's all written. Like scripted,
right? And you've played it,
yeah.
And does the relationship building sort of approximate real life relationship building? Like you have to put time and effort, and
you have to put time and effort. But it's like you have to say the right things. If you say someone and piss someone off, you're in like an alien world. So like one of the early characters you meet is another human, and
who is a bitch? Sorry,
yeah, she is. But you can meet her, and she. You can probably, if you make a logical leap, that it's like, well, you're in space and you're talking with aliens and all this shit.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, she brings up, like, what you think of other races. And you can go, like, I think, like, these other races are great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And she's like, I fucking hate other races. She's, like, crazy xenophobic.
She's
like, crazy religious. Not crazy religious, but she's definitely xenophobic.
Right.
So, like, you could have tried to be nice and saying the thing that you thought she... that she's a nice girl at this point. You think that you're saying the right thing, but in actuality, it's like, no, she has her own interests.
But
she doesn't really like aliens. She doesn't trust them. Humanity has not been around other aliens for that long. Like 100 years or something like that. Which, in the grand scheme of things, if we met aliens, we'd probably still be a bit nervy around them.
So I'm a bit lost. So this game is about building relationships with different characters. That's basically what this game is about.
It's about recruiting a party of people to help you save the world, but that's the goal.
Yes.
The journey is more important, and the journey is like getting to know these characters. Like that's what they designed the game to be.
Right.
It's really like, hey, we created these characters and we want you to
spend time with these characters. So you can build friends, you can build allies, you can build like strong relationship, weak relationship, you can build like relationship governed by like it for different circumstances,
and there are same-sex relationships, but there are also like there are people that are bi, but you can be male or female, and so like you can have situations where like this character is not going to sleep with you because she's not gay.
But is she, is it part of the, so part of the objective is to build like a sexual relationship
no.
with Rand? Oh,
it's, you just, don't have it's to. Just, it's just right, a right. thing that you can do. And there right. are, there will be characters
right. and
that
game,
will not build a sexual relationship with right. you because they're not interested.
Right. And it's quite realistic, this game, in terms of like interaction
it's,
and simulation.
So it's difficult. I think that if
right.
someone like you played it,
right.
you would think it is quite realistic and, right. And a really incredible kind of experience to be able to go and interact and have all these different conversations and learn about all these different people
right.
and grow these relationships.
Yeah,
I have played video games for 30 years. Yeah. I see this and I see the clockwork and I see the mechanisms behind it that make it tick. And right. I see like, I know that there is, that I can select this
answer. But nothing surprises you.
Things surprise me in video games, but okay. when I see something like this, I know that it's like, okay, a lot of the times when you play video games a lot and you start seeing the systems more uh-huh. than the game itself.
Right.
So, like, I see this and it's like, if I wanted to sleep with this character because right. I want to get the nudie scene.
Yes.
I don't see it as a character. I right. see this is a conversation. There are right answers and there are wrong answers.
Yes.
And I just need to make educated guesses.
Well, welcome to real life, though. Sure. What's the difference between this and real life?
It's
the same thing.
That's the point.
Yes.
It's like good like that.
Yes.
But I can see that it's like, I know that she'll probably like this, she'll probably like that more.
Yes.
So this is like, there's going to be a hidden yes. meter.
Well, the only difference between that and real life is like, in real life, you got to have like some liquid courage.
Yeah.
And because
like, you don't get like ABC choices.
Yeah.
You
have well,
to fucking figure it out.
I feel like in real yeah. life, it is sort of like ABC, except that if you pick the wrong one, you might have a fist.
Yeah, I always pick D and it's always just like me going, oh. Don't worry, I will.
No, because once in a while, you're just going to get punched in the face. By you or by the boyfriend, you know, that arrives moving in later. Right. No, I think, I mean, I haven't played any of these things, but I think it's fucking hilarious. Like, that's the whole point of a game, right? Sometimes escapism, you gotta be able to do some of these funny. Like, why is it that people can read a book that is really fucking scandalous and that is not like,
but, like
the problem and suddenly like you play a video game?
Been. Video games are just a new medium. Before
right,
then it was
right.
film, and
right.
it was rock music,
yes.
and it was books.
Right.
Like, it's not like, you're ignoring a large chunk of history if you ignore that people fucking rioted and
that is
books
true.
Before.
Yes, that is
just,
books
is,
the most dangerous thing.
This is, yeah, new thing that people don't...
Right, see. Right.
And like I said, it's still a very young medium.
Yeah, yeah. Freedom of expression, people. Right, that's very, very interesting. What's the... Oh my god, I think we've got to start closing this. But before we go, what is one of the biggest controversies you know... about games?
That's very generic.
Like, what's big controversy
depends,
in games?
It depends on like, if it's the game itself or it's a meta thing. Because there's certainly been very widespread meta discussions about video games. If it's a controversy with the game itself and something the game has done, Hot Coffee is probably a hot contender. There was another game.
But by the way you described it, it's like, yeah, it did. I don't see it as a controversy. I just see it as a big financial loss. But
so it was
like,
a big controversy because it introduced a lot of people to the idea that there is sex in video games. And it just, a lot of people still at that time
right.
were of the mind that video games are fun. I can buy the M-rated game for my son, whatever. It's a video game. It's Mario and Zelda.
But I swear to God, you can buy like, there's already like, you know, R restricted games anyways, right? There's always been like,
I mean, in Australia,
porno games or whatever, right?
But that's the other one. The
yes.
other one would probably be, if you want to,
like, does PlayStation have these type of games?
No, PlayStation's right. actually pretty strict. PlayStation specifically has pretty strict, to the point where they actually censor a lot of their games.
Right. I know Nintendo won't have it.
Nintendo actually is more liberal than, like, you can find nudity
yes.
on the Nintendo Switch. You will not find that as anywhere near as frequently. Like, there are pervy, let's say, anime games
right.
on the Switch. There are
right.
probably some on the PlayStation, but not many. They actually crack down on that stuff pretty hard because they don't want that image.
Right.
But the Nintendo Switch, you go onto the eShop, you'll find some stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I was told that Nintendo's, like, super clean.
Nintendo is. But Nintendo likes money too, and they're just like, you put your parental controls on, and PC it's free reign. Like, one of the other controversies, there was a game called Rape Play, which
yes.
was a pretty well known like controversy, just because it again introduced a lot of people to the idea
yes.
that there are like pornographic games doubling more because it's about specifically stalking and raping girls.
Right, right, right.
Which is like pretty extreme territory. There's also the fact that like
it's like it's just GTA with
It's not GTA, it's nowhere near that kind of level of complexity. It's a very simple game. I haven't played it.
I've seen screenshots of it. That's about it. In narrative, and then plus you can
it's not GTA. There's no narrative, as far as I know. The narrative is on a train in Japan and you're groping women and molesting women and then eventually following them home and raping them. That's the narrative.
Right. Yeah.
Which is like gross, but like in Japan, that's problematic. It's a pretty common fetish, I'd say.
Yeah.
But if, as soon as that, and that wasn't even, that game wasn't even coming out in the West, but kind of.
But it was
released. America. No, it was released in Japan.
Right.
But then America just sort of heard about the game at some point and it blew up, even though the game wasn't being released. It just blew up as like a process. It wasn't released.
Yes.
They couldn't ban it. It never came out in that country.
Okay.
They just heard about it and it was an uproar because like these video games, see, I was right. This is a rape video game.
Right. I understand.
The company, even in Japan, eventually did recall it due to the controversy.
Yeah.
Didn't release a sequel?
That's the point. There was a sequel already out.
But is there when
America found out about the first one?
Fair enough. Okay, I mean, that's just. Okay, so. Yes, that's probably a bit controversial. Like, for example, what you said about Atari ET and the console market.
Mm.
Going almost bankrupt. I thought that was a pretty interesting story about the history of games, you know?
Yeah, it's not so much a controversy so much as it is.
Right.
They fucked up and almost killed it.
Right. Oh, sorry. From my perspective, it blew my mind, so I thought it was a controversy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, games were on the very strong uprise during that period. So they kept releasing, like, shitty video games because they could.
Yeah. It was a quality control issue, and ET was the last straw.
Yeah. Has there been other. Like quality control issues?
No, it's effective. I mean, there's small issues.
I guess the gacha games coming out.
So gacha specifically, there's issues with those. But now it's to do with monetization, like the gacha, and like the blind boxes, the loot boxes, which are effectively gambling. There's been a bunch of things like that. Like those blind boxes, they're being scaled back a lot nowadays. A lot of games will like promote themselves on not having this feature.
Hmm. Okay, just before we go, I feel like we gotta have this as a next topic. I was gonna ask you, which is games that you feel are underrated, or like some aspect of game history that we ought to know that we don't, you know?
History?
Yeah, I'd like to know the history of video games. Like when you talked about ET and Atari, I thought that was very, very interesting. I looked it up.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was Atari had a game developer section and then like a marketing section.
Mm.
And the marketing section essentially said, hey, we need this game in fucking 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And maybe back in the old days, 6 weeks wasn't long to develop a game. I don't know. Maybe
it was pretty quick.
Yeah. Maybe it was like not impossible, just a really difficult ask. Who knows?
You talk about little narrative dissonance. That's a little narrative dissonance right there between E.T. movie and E.T. the game. Have you ever seen a game of it?
Yeah, but it's also just a bad game. And at that point, you're getting into like, I mean, those games. Just like back in those days, it's like, what narrative?
Yeah.
It's like, does Space Invaders have the little narrative dissonance? I don't know. You know, okay, interesting history mechanic. You know, just for the fun of it. Do you know how Space Invaders works?
Yeah, you're an aircraft, and then you're shooting things. And
you're a tank or whatever, but yeah.
You're an aircraft, right? And then you're shooting something at the top. At the top of the screen.
You're clearly on the ground. You're meant to be a tank, I believe.
Oh, I didn't know that you're on the ground. Oh, okay.
Anyway, there's houses in front of you. But like the you know how as you kill them, it gets faster?
Yeah.
Right.
You populate further and further down.
That wasn't an intentional design choice.
Yeah, that was a mistake. It was a coding error. They were slow because the game couldn't process the number of enemies on screen. And so as you killed them, it sped up as a natural consequence of it actually being able to run the game better. And then people liked that mechanic. So they just kept it in future iterations. There's a fun history for you.
Yeah. Games are full of stuff like that.
Mm.
Right. Yeah, it definitely doesn't look like it was unintended.
Yeah, right. I mean, every release since the first one has been intentional because they realized people liked that part of it, that aspect.
Right, right. I guess we gotta wrap things up. But yesterday or the day before, I was reading the news about the Chinese regulator essentially making it official that all the game companies that do not comply with this rule of enforcing like 3-hour gameplay per week on kids are gonna get fined, and they've shut down some game companies as well. And we talked about it a while back, so I thought I'd look it up, and that is legit, 100% legit.
It seems real bad to be a kid that likes video games in China at the moment.
I think they're destroying the market. I don't know how they're gonna
It's really interesting. I'm really curious as to
how. And what is a game, you know? My understanding is like the best way to learn something is almost to gamify it.
Yeah, gamification seems like a real good way. People like gamification. I'm still doing like these French lessons every day because they've gamified it, and I'm invested in the systems and I earn XP. And it's like, if it didn't have those systems, I probably would have dropped off. But I've been doing it for like 6 months.
Right. Learning French, are we?
Yeah, I've been doing it for a while, actually. Longer than 6 months.
Yeah.
Just to, like, Duolingo.
No, because I told you Ray was learning French, and then you came out with a bunch of French on me.
Yeah.
Right. Why did you try to learn French?
I don't know. I just like French. No reason. I think it's the bad language to learn if you're going to learn a language, as in it's not practical. I think if you're learning it, like, the language I should learn is Japanese, because I play video games, and a bunch of video games that come out here are like translated badly, and I'd rather play them in Japanese because the translations are bad. Or they just don't get released, and I should learn Japanese to be able to play them.
Why don't you learn Japanese?
Because it's fucking hard, man. French is easy. If I want to say behind in French, it's derrière, and I already know that. So it's easy.
Yeah. Alright. Well, let's just leave it at this because I've got to get my ass back to work. But thank you very, very much to all the non-listeners out there. I hope you had thought it was interesting. So this is One Game a Day. My name is Joe. Delicious. Oh, God.
Hot Dog.
AKA Hot Dog, AKA Gun, AKA Bang. All right, I'm just going to keep it to, my name is Joe Delicious, AKA Gun.
It can be JD for short.
JD, yes.
Yeah, but then I'll just start calling you John Doe.
Right. And I feel like I'm a shoe store. I'll just throw shoes in your face. And then we have Byron, our historian, in-house historian. And then we have Ray Ray, who does nothing but drink bubble tea. He's present.
I'm always present.
Yes. The ghost. We are the Holy Trinity. Yes. One of us is the simulation. We'll figure out sooner or later. All right, bye-bye, everyone.